You might like to turn in your Bible to Joshua in chapter 6. Joshua in chapter 6. And in our exercise of God's Word, I will stop. And our God, we've opened your Word. And we're looking for you to help us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you have recorded. Help us to gain the benefit of that which you have recorded for us to understand your awesome person. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise, looking at this, but at Joshua and Israel, and keeping in mind that for 40 years, God had helped Israel, even though they were rebellious, God taught them. So for 40 years, they lived, and God shepherded them like sheep, as sheep. And he did that, and their clothes didn't wear out. There was never a problem with food. None of these things ever happened. They just had everything. In fact, every day, you never had to wonder about God's presence because the cloud was there every day and the fire every night. You never had to wonder. You didn't need a sign that God was there. God was evidenced 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now they've crossed the Jordan. And it has to be a whole new way. And they have to learn that. And so that's what we've been looking at. God has to help them understand. There's no more cloud. There's no more fire. You aren't going to see anything. You're just going to trust me as we go on and go and claim the land. And you're going to have to look to me. I'm going to do my part, said God. And I want you to be a co-laborer with me as you go down the corridor of time. So, here's Israel. And we share together at this point, chapter 6. And Israel, Joshua is looking at Jericho. And God is helping them understand, how do you go in the first battle across the Jordan? How do you go? What's going to be different? And how is it going to be different? Remember now, 38 years earlier, they were to go up and from Kadesh Barnea, and they were to go and conquer the land. God gave them instructions. God was very obviously there. They just didn't do it. They didn't believe. Now, this time, they're going to go. And God's going to give them an education and an experience to help them. All of the wonderful battles that lie ahead, chapter 10, 11, etc. All of those battles are there. But you need to understand, God's going to do a wonderful thing. And you're going to have to trust him. No cloud, no fire. God's going to help you. You're going to trust God and believe God in each battle as you go down the corridor of time. So now, having said that, and here's the instructions as we started last time, looking at it just to remind ourselves. I'll just start and give us one just to catch it again. Now, Jericho was straightly shut up. Straightly shut up means it was closed. Not only was it shut, the big iron gates with copper bolts, locked up. No one went in and no one came out. It was locked up firmly with no one's going anywhere. And Israel isn't coming in. So, and Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men thereof. I have given this already into your hand. I have given it into your hand, the mighty men of valor, and you're going to go and take and conquer this city. You're going to do what I told you to do, and because I've given it to you. And remember what we shared, chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. Now God's being more specific and defining it. I'm going to give you, as you go, I have given you into the hand of Jericho. So not only are you going to walk in the land, but you're going to take the king of Jericho and all the people thereof. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So, for 13 times, they're going to go and circle that city in doing so. And they're going to march around that city. And they're going to be educated. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be exercised in different ways. So, as they're going around, as you know, the city, and keep in mind, as you read that, as they're going around in the city, they're going to go and you have to keep in mind, here, if you're just putting it ahead of you, then we'll read it. Here's the armed men, 601,000 plus men, armed. 601,000, they're in the front. And as we go then, we have the seven priests and the seven ram's horns trumpets. So we have the military, and here's the seven priests blowing the ram's horn, as you'll see, and as they're going. And as they're doing that, and then you have the ark of the covenant there that's in the tabernacle is now in front of them. And as they're going, you have the 600 military, you have the seven priests with the trumpets blowing, and then you have the ark. And you have the ark there being carried by the priest, the Levites, carrying the ark. Now, and then you have the rear guard. You have the military in behind, coming behind. So you got a sense of the parade, as it would. And that parade is going to circle the city 13 times. That's what it's going to do. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so they're going to go around and around the city. Now, in the process, Israel could look up, and the wall, here's the double walls, we shared all that. Here's Jericho, the double walls that they exposed, 5 or 6 feet between the walls, maybe 46 feet high, way up in the air. And here's double walls. And Rahab had her house probably across the walls, like you can just imagine it. And therefore, so now, here they are, Israel looks up, way up in the air, and there's the people looking over the wall, looking down at them for 13 days, 13 times. Now, and Israel's looking up, the people on the wall are looking down. The people looking up, all they just walking, they aren't doing anything, they could get clobbered by rocks, by arrows, by fire, by all kinds of things. But they don't. They don't. Jericho doesn't do anything. And Israel is made, as it were, could be, how foolish are we to go around the wall like this, where they could clobber us. And so in the process, Israel marches around the wall, and we shared together last time, as we looked at it, God is going to help them learn and understand. And we shared together that the foolishness of God makes the wisdom of man make it look awful stupid. The wisdom of man, and God takes his foolishness to show us our own foolishness. God takes the foolishness that seems so foolish and makes that foolishness, makes the world pay attention. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Foolishness. To us it is saved. It is the power of God. Now, keep that in mind, if you would. So as you're going around, and we shared all that, foolishness, and God is going to go, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, God is going to go and do everything he can to humble the human heart. And everything that seems so out of place, God is going to take the foolishness of us humans and using it directly, us humans who are nobody, and put somebody in nobody, namely God. And God takes the flesh and blood of us nobodies and is going to show himself in foolishness, in dust. You know it from 2 Corinthians 4, 6. God comes into our heart and brings light. And verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, God's wonderful person. So in a vessel of dust, God shows his wonderful deity. That's what he has chosen, to make foolish the wisdom of the world. Now, in the process of all of that, so as we're looking and reading, and you'll notice, and if I can, I'll read in verse 3. You shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. The priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets, which priest bear the 7 trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark, which we did the little parade, so you had it ahead of time, before the ark of the Lord. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horn, passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them, as they went down the corridor of time, so as they marched around the city. So as they're going around the city, and here's all the armed men, and verse 9, and the armed men went before the priest that blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. So as you went around, if you were on the wall looking down, you would see all these men marching with their armor on, having everything, but doing nothing. And you'd see the ram's horn. What was the only thing you heard? You heard the trumpet sound. And then you saw the ark. That's what you saw. Now, you could have done anything from the wall to disrupt that parade, but you didn't. And you weren't going to either. God wasn't going to let that happen. So, what's happening? Now, the Israelites are being tested and humbled around the city every day, and on the 7th day, 7 times. So now around and around the city. That's a very humbling thing. How are we supposed to win? And they're all, you can just imagine the conversations that they would have, not only in Jericho, what they're talking about, the foolish people out there marching around because nothing's happening, and the Israelites, when they go back home after they march, what are they talking about? You can just imagine it, because everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. Why are we doing this? Why is this happening? Why isn't Israel doing anything? God may not be doing anything. God may not be able to do anything, etc. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and chapter 6, and as they're going, chapter 6, and in verse 10, and you'll note, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then shall you shout. So as the parade is going around the city, the only sound, you don't even hear the swords or anything clicking. The only sound they're to hear is the trumpet. That's all. And that's a lot of people to keep very quiet. And they're all very quiet, marching, just so, around the city. And it's very, very quiet. Now, no sounds. Now, that's something just to think about that. Don't make a sound. Now, and so having said that, as they go around the city, and looking so, they're going to go and be quiet. And that's why we put shh, hush. They weren't to say anything. Once you start that parade around the city, quiet. Quiet. And if you have to cough, hold your mouth. What are you doing? Quietness. Quietness. So now, getting a little sense of that so you see it. Why the quietness? What are you going to teach us? To be still. Now, go over, if I can, a little bit. In the light of all of that, I'll go over to Isaiah, and chapter 53. And you will note in Isaiah chapter 53, picking up, please. This is on our Lord Jesus Christ, a whole thing telling about his crucifixion and his death. Israel, Christ, the Savior is going to die. And here's chapter 53 to expound that. Now, when you come to Isaiah 53, you come to verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And our Lord, as you know, when you read in Mark and Matthew and Luke, what did he do? The priest said, "Speak to us." And he opened not his mouth. Didn't say anything. Pontius Pilate, "Speak to me." And one time he did, but another time he didn't. Didn't say anything. No, just quiet. He's like we shared this morning. He's already a conqueror. He's already beaten the enemy. And it just has to go to battle. He has to go to the cross. So all of the chit-chat isn't the issue. That's where he's going. And they can think what they want and do what they want. But God is going to work out what he's doing as he moves through history. Now, and so here's God. So therefore, the lamb before his shearers is dumb. God did that. Quietness. Quietness, yeah. Isaiah chapter 30. And in Isaiah chapter 30, may I pick up, please? If I can, in chapter 30. And you'll note that which you're familiar with. In chapter 30, going, if I can, to verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And then the terrible words, they just wouldn't do it. What are you trying to teach them in chapter 6? You're walking around the city 13 times. Quiet. I want you to do what I say because I said it. I want you to follow instructions. And I want you to know it isn't with a whole lot of noise. You're going to trust me in quietness and confidence and be resting. Resting. Now, hang on to that. So, in the process, and remember, the land of rest, the land of rest is a land of conflict. And the life of rest is the life of conflict. The land of rest is a land of conflict. You gotta, when you get saved, your old nature has to buck your Christ in you, and you got a conflict. Galatians 5:17, back and forth, back and forth. You got that. You never had that till you got saved. And now you got that. And now, so you get saved, God gives you his wonderful rest in his saving grace, but you got to go to battle every day. That's what you got to do. So, in the process, in the land, they had to go and fight the enemy. Their old nature, the idols, the idolatry, and the enemy every day. They had to fight it because it was always there. Even if they got rid of all the idols, we know from Galatians 5 that our own heart houses idolatry. Our own heart, part of our own heart is idol, is idolatrous. It's a battle. It's a battle. So therefore, going to battle, in verse 15, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And they just wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. What are you trying to teach them, God? I want you to pay attention to me. It isn't the whole law. You're going to listen to me and follow my instructions. No matter what, hang on, we'll keep putting it together. So therefore, and verse 16, on the contrary, they said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue thee be swift. In other words, we'll run away from the enemy. The problem, we're going to run away from the problem. We don't have to, we'll just run away. We aren't going to face the problem. We don't have to talk about the problem. We're going to make it all go away. God said, it doesn't always go away. It doesn't always go away. In returning and rest should be saved, and in quietness and confidence should be your strength. Now, having said that little bit, over to Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, as you would know, in the process, in Psalm 46, picking up, if I may, and you know it, in, I'll read verse 1, Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Now, sliding over as you go down with the great psalm, and you go over to verse 10, as you are familiar with. Be still, be still, be still. And know, be still and know. It's causative. You do it. You cause yourself to be still. Still, still. To cease. to stop, to be quiet, to submit from awe, quietness. I want you to do that. Be still and know that I am God. Here they are in Jericho, looking down from the wall. And what are they learning? They're learning, if you would, that God is an awesome God, and they are going to find it out. Now, they are already afraid, as you know, as it tells us before chapter 6. You already know they're afraid because the God that took them across the Red Sea, they've been afraid since then. And now the God has taken them across the Jordan, and they're afraid. So, in the process of being afraid, they needed to know that the Israelites didn't need to be afraid. The enemy was afraid. The Israelites needed to be afraid. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, be still and know that I am God. Yield yourself. Submit yourself in quietness, in the light of God's wonderful, wonderful person, and trust God with all your heart. That's what to do. Be still and know, and hush, be quiet, be still in God's wonderful stillness. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, go with me, please, over to Hebrews, just to tie it a little more. And in chapter 11 in Hebrews, and you will note chapter 10 in Hebrews, picking up, please, in verse 31. It is a fearful thing, using chapter 10, verse 31, the book of Hebrews. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you had understanding. You endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them who were so you. In other words, you all were looked down to, like people looking down from the wall of Jericho, looking down. These are Israelites. They don't have any power. They're just men, just people with trumpets and an ark. That's all they got. What are we afraid of? Now, having said that little bit, in verse 34, "For you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance." So you had a lot of persecution, a lot of trouble. Preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. In other words, the world doesn't see you very much. It doesn't. God doesn't look very wise at all. So now, verse again, keep going. If I can, verse 5, 35. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." After you've done it. So you got to do what you're supposed to do before you can have the benefits of it. You can't have the benefits of a good meal until you eat it. And then you have the health, etc. Now, and you have need, verse 36, "You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Yet a little while, he that cometh will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But you are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And back over to verse 36, "After you have done the will of God, You have to learn. You do what you're supposed to do, and you reap the benefits. Now, over, if I can, in 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, and you remember we have the Lord's table. And the Lord's table, how much noise is there at the Lord's table? We aren't singing, we aren't bouncing around. What are we doing? We're just quietly taking of the bread and the cup in quietness. It's all quiet. The elements are served, and it's very quiet, in quietness. Now, hang on. Verse 26. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, and the word show, to show in a very public way, a very, very way, you can't miss it. God says, I will show, present tense. I'm going to declare plainly, to declare openly. It's the word to declare something and then intensify the word. Declare, to intensify it, to make it powerful. What are you doing? When you take the Lord's table, you are giving one powerful message to the people, to your heart, and to the people around you in quietness. In quietness. And you don't say a big thing. And people say, what's that? You just didn't sow any. All you did is take some little cracker. It wasn't enough to crunch, and it had a little bit of juice. And what had? What is it? What a silly thing. No. No. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember who I am. Be still and know that I am God. We're in his presence. You can't hear him. You can't see him. Can't hear him, see him. No. Like we shared this morning. No, you can't. But he's there. In quietness. Our best times are not when there's a lot of noise. No. It's in quietness. In quietness and confidence should be your strength. And you wouldn't do it. Be still and know that I am God, listening to God in his wonderful grace, in his most wonderful way. Now, having said that, if I can, in the light of that, back over to Joshua, and in chapter 6. So what are we going to do in Joshua chapter 6? As we go, we're going to have what? We're looking for God's wonderful grace to be put into exercise. And so therefore, we're going to go and be still. And we're going to go and just keep marching around, as humbling as it is, but God said to do it. Just follow my instructions, no matter how silly they seem, no matter how dumb it may seem. It is never dumb to wait on God. It is never dumb to wait on God. You don't have to hurry. God's going to move when he moves. And you be still and you wait on God. Around the city, around the day, around the week, around the month, around the year, you wait. You wait. You wait. Waiting on God. That's what you're doing. That's what Israel needed to understand. You're going to have to look to God in quietness and confidence and wait on him for his instructions. And you wait and move. When God moves, you move. Now, having said that little bit, so God, what are we looking at? God, you're going to go in chapter 6, as you're going to be quiet before you can do anything. You can't shout. No, not yet. You can't do it yet. You're going to do it. And when you do it, boy, hang on, we'll have to catch that. Now, so therefore, what are you going to, God, what are we looking at? God, you're going to help us to what? to magnify thy power. The people in Jericho are going to learn of God's power. God is going to take those double walls way up like this, and he's going to bring them down like dust. You remember the Twin Towers in New York back then. And here's this big building, and it just did what? It folded up. All the metal parts went what they should be, maybe. And in the process, all of those framework just crumbled down, and it flattened out. What is God going to do? He's going to flatten the walls like to the floor. Not just going to knock them down. He's going to flatten them, like pushing his hand down on the wall. Flat. That's what he's going to do. Yeah. Now, and so therefore, you're looking for God to exercise. Israel is going to find, oh, they've seen the Red Sea, and they've seen the Jordan, and seen other things. And God's care, the shoes never wore out, they never got sick for 40 years, had never had anything at all. Just that every day was wonderfully workable. You didn't have to worry about going to the laundry or anything. Just some wonderful thing God did. Now, so in the process, so therefore God, you're going to go and you're going to what? Help Israel understand and the world understand and all the rest of Palestine understand God's power. God's power. God uses his power to the extent he needs to. He's omnipotent and he can do whatever he wants, obviously. So God's going to go and do what he does in the way that he does it. And it's always unique. And you have to wait and watch. And you don't worry. And you don't worry about things. You don't have to worry about it. You're waiting on God. And God's going to do what he's going to do. And it may seem awful foolish. But you wait on God. Looking to God. Patient with God. And God is what else going to put Israel to the test of faith and obedience. You go every day, 6 days, and the seventh day, seven times. That's what you're going to do. I told you what to do. Obey me. Follow the instructions. And so the people of Israel have a prescribed course of conduct that God's going to exercise, and it would seem it would seem absurd to human wisdom, wouldn't make sense at all, but you wait on God. And that's what they did. They waited on God. And what does that do? It develops an attitude of trust. No matter what God says or may not say, or what he does or what he may not do, you're trusting him. You're learning to trust him. That's how you do it. God, like we shared this morning, God makes you an overcomer. He is the overcomer. And you'll learn to trust him to be the overcomer because you've already overcome. And you're going to do that. And therefore, you're going to trust him. You'll trust him in all things. And you're going to go forward and they say, it doesn't stupid. No, I'm going to wait. I'm looking to God. Looking, God. God's never in a hurry. God's never late. Always on time in what he does and when he does it. So therefore, what are we going to do? Quiet. And trust him. Until he's going to do what he does, and then you shout. But not till then. And we're going to look at shout, because that's rather special. So therefore, you got the idea. Got the idea. It's a wonderful thing. God's trying to educate Israel. That education lasts a little bit, not too long. And we hear it. And by the way, here we are in the presence of God, and we're reading what? God, we didn't walk around the wall. You gave us an account, the account of what they did. They walked around the wall, and you brought the wall down, et cetera, et cetera. You did that. And we're in the presence of God who brought the wall down. We're in the presence. God right now, in his presence, was there. He's the one that brought the wall down. He's the one that told them to walk around the wall. So God, do we need to have an experience? No. That's why I gave you my word. I'm telling you what I did. So just believe me. You don't have to have it. Learn. That's why I put it in my word from Genesis to Exodus, to Genesis to Revelation. Read it. I gave you the information so you don't have to go through it. So you learn from it. That's the whole point. Learn from it. I'm not going to break, I'm not going to go and march around Iran or something, whatever. No, I'm going to do what I have to do, the way it has to be done. But you're going to trust me. Anyway, you got the idea. That's what you're going to do. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your kindness. And here we are looking. God, and you, here we are. And we're in the presence, and you were there. In fact, it is happening even now because there is no time to you. So all of that, God, you're doing, and here we are able to read it and see how it all worked out so that we can trust you without you having to do something, without you having to put us through the mill every time so that we can learn. Without having to be tested and tried, we can learn a lot of things, God, by just listening and paying attention to your word. And our God, we thank you very, very much for your word, your work, your grace. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.